Aren't you glad, amen, to be a child of the Most High God tonight? Praise the Lord, amen. There's nothing like it in all of the world. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to talk about reassuming the posture of victory. Psalm of David while fleeing from Absalom, his son, and the singing, this hunger, thirst for God has just kind of set a beautiful setting for the presentation of this psalm, because this psalm, as well as Psalm, I believe, 63 others were written while he was on the run for his very life, because his son, with an army, was trying to hunt him down. And David knew what it was to be chased as a deer. Saul tried to hunt him down and kill him. Amen. To keep him from coming into his kingdom. After he came into that kingdom, his son turned against him. And I'm going to tell you something about what is at issue here. The great giant, the physical giant with sinew and muscle and bone that David under the anointing took down was a piece of cake for a man of faith. Everybody say a piece of cake for a man of faith. David had no problem taking down that giant. Amen? None whatsoever. I don't believe David broke a sweat because God's anointing just took that physical giant down. And that giant fell, and David was a man of renown, and of course he had to go and run from Saul, and I don't think that really caused him too much problem. He understood. At one point he became a bit discouraged, and Jonathan came to him and found him and encouraged him in the Lord. And told him, you know, you're not going to die. You're not going to be destroyed. God has a plan for you. He's going to fulfill it. No matter what the king does, you're going to be what God has called and anointed you to be. And he took courage in his heart, and he just went right on. It was just a bump in the road, like a speed bump. And he just, amen, accelerated on and became a great, mighty king of Israel. And then he had his own personal failures. You know where David's giant was here? This giant killer of the physical giant through faith in God wasn't anything for a man of faith. But when your own son wants you dead, and when your own son, not a Philistine giant, but your flesh and blood, the Bible said in the New Testament that your enemies, as Christians, the people Satan is going to use most effectively against you. If he can, this is his choice of weaponry, will be your own household. People that can break your heart. There are people, listen, if Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan in California, if Anton LaVey should come to me and tell me how much he hates me and despises my God and despises Jesus, I mean, I don't like to hear that kind of thing about my Lord, but my heart won't be broken. Amen? Atheists can't break my heart. David said, you know, I can take down a physical giant through faith without breaking a sweat. But this giant David was facing when he had the trouble in his own family. This was a man with the potential to lose everything, to lose all hope. This is when he cried out to God in a desperate cry. The psalm that was written where those sentiments of that last song we were going to sing, the context of that is David again, like Psalm 3, running for his life from his son. Everybody say from his son. So the enemy knows if I'm going to bring down a giant killer, it won't be the giant without that slays him, because he's proven that this, if it's a flesh and blood battle, period, he's more than up to the task through his simple faith in his God. You come at me with sword and spear, I come at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Boom, down he went. The people that surrounded David when he walked down as a shepherd boy, by the way, he didn't come down to slay that giant. I love looking at the details now instead of just the highlights. Amen. He came down with a servant heart. God chooses to use, to make champions, people with servant hearts. The greatest champion of all had a servant heart. Can you say, man, he's called the servant king. in the Bible, and his name is Jesus Christ. David did not come down to make a name for himself through the anointing. David came down not to fight a giant. David didn't come down to show out and show his spiritual stuff. David came down to bring bread and cheese to his brethren that were in Saul's army. Isn't that an incredibly beautiful attitude? And God said, you know, I'm going to use that young man with that servant heart attitude to be a champion in the cause of my people. And he let that anointing flow to slay a giant. And I mean, you know, the people around him said he's too big to hit. And David literally said in so many words, he's too big to miss. Amen. His faith was unwavering. Amen. You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Can you? In other words, there's no contest. You say you're going to take my head, you got it wrong. I'm going to take yours. Amen. I mean, he just, no, it's a piece of cake. Everybody say a piece of cake. But now, everything is different. This is his son. This is his son. His beautiful son, Absalom. And his son wants to kill his daddy, take his kingdom. And he's raised an army of David's own countrymen. So now David feels isolated. He feels alone. He feels betrayed. And the giant he's now facing is not Absalom and his army, but the giant of discouragement within. Everybody say the giant of discouragement within. And I'm going to tell you something. That Philistine fell a lot easier than that giant of brokenheartedness that David was beginning to feel. And when he was running for his life in the wilderness, he said, as the heart, in other words, I've got to have the living God. This is not just an anointing that comes on me to do a supernatural thing. This is something I need in my heart and soul from God. My soul is thirsty for the living God. He said, a man in the desert will die through dehydration if he doesn't get to a water hole. And I'm going to die in my brokenness if I don't find somehow to enter into the presence of God. Oh, that I was back in the holy city, that I could just be close to where God know that God indwells. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. We are persecuted, but we are not destroyed. But the fact that we are persecuted means that we are in desperate need of times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. Can you say amen? Listen to this. That word persecuted in the New Testament means chased as a deer. And why is the deer being chased? Because someone wants to kill him and will kill him if they can catch him and hold him and make him vulnerable. So he runs full out. And then after a while, he fatigues and he gets thirsty for water, and he's got to find it. If the church of Jesus Christ gets desperate for the Lord, we're going to find that living water in abundance. Can you say amen? Because you're going to find me when what? You seek me half-heartedly? No, when you seek me wholeheartedly. When you seek after me with all, everybody say with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. That desperation brings us into the presence of God because, amen, whatever is distracts us and takes us away, amen, we're going to deal with that somehow. We're going to find him. Hallelujah. And we're going to find him more than enough. And we're going to experience times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. Listen to this. This is another one of those psalms that's written when David is fleeing from Absalom. It's real important to understand the context of a psalm to know what it's all about. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There is no help for him in God. Selah. But here's what David is going to confess. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. And the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked. In other words, my enemies didn't find me and kill me, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. You see the difference in the tenor of this, the tone of it? David is not declaring, I'm going to take down that giant. I'm telling you, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. You're going to fall. But that giant within, he was crying out for God to be his Savior. God to lift him up. And then he began to pen those great psalms. Amen. Those personal psalms that said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For the Lord hath been a refuge for me. To slay this giant, you've got to ask for God's help. You've got to depend on God's help. You've got to be desperate for God's help enough to seek him wholeheartedly for it. How easy it was. He didn't talk like this when he slayed Goliath, because that was a giant without. This is a giant within. Amen? They all want to kill him, but listen, this is his son, Absalom. Listen to it carefully. It's important. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. And in spite of all these enemies and brokenness in his life, he said, and thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. I love what one translation of verse 3 reads. It said, Lord, you're the one that lifts my head high. You're the one that lifts my head high. You're my shield. You're my glory. You are the lifter of my head. When I can't lift it up, you become the one. It's all you now. It's not David under the anointing. It's his God sustaining him completely. Amen? Giants within don't fall because of your great faith. Giant within fall only because of your desperate dependence upon your God. And that actually becomes a greater faith. The faith to move a mountain is different from the faith to trust God in your brokenness. Can you say amen? And God wants us to develop a faith that'll take us through our brokenness, because you can't live in a fallen world without sooner or later having your heart affected. Amen? Spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Wounded spirit, who can bear? Well, Satan knows that very well. He knows that scripture very well. He knows our makeup better than we know it. He knows we are a trinity. He knows we're a spirit, soul, and body. His arrow is to find our heart. Can you say amen? That's why the breastplate is so important. Can you say amen? That's why we need to guard our hearts, praise God. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. For why? Out of it are all the issues of life. Praise God. Listen to this. This is good stuff. I've been in those dark valleys. I know what they're all about. My greatest battle has never been with anything external. It's always been something within. And those giants can be defeated as well. There is lifting up in the Lord. But only when we understand that we've got to be desperate for him as the heart is for the water brook. Because if we seek him with all of our heart, we're going to find him. And he's going to be what? A shield to us. He's going to be our glory. And in spite of the brokenness that life may have brought to us, he's going to be the lifter of our head. First time I read that, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, I thought that was dependent on a Jonathan or someone coming alongside like the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Amen. And literally, it can be the Holy Spirit, but only as we look to God to do it. Literally, that prayer was a prayer to God to bring him back and bring his life back in focus of God as his source, just like it was, not when he was the giant killer, the mighty king of Israel, but back when he was a shepherd boy, keeping the sheep, and a lion roared against those sheep, and he had to depend on God. His big brothers were not there to help him. His daddy was not there to help him. He was a lone shepherd responsible for the sheep, and he was a little young shepherd boy. Can you say amen? But when the lion roared, he stood up, and he trusted his God, and God helped him to not just defend the sheep and fend off the lion, but he slayed the lion. That's important. He killed the lion. He didn't just holler at him and scare him off. He encountered him, stood his ground, and through the anointing, put him down. Wow. I mean, that's God, folks. And he slayed the bear. A bear roared out of the woods, and David stood up to the bear. Did you know if a bear slaps you, it's worse than your mama slapping you? Can you say amen? Amen. I'm serious. I know they don't slap kids today. I'm talking to you older people. I mean, they could almost take your head off. And David stood up to the bear and slayed the bear. When I said it was a piece of cake to the enemy without, it wasn't nothing for David. He had slain a lion and the bear under the anointing, and he knew it doesn't matter what it is. God's anointing is greater. My God is a mighty God. The God of Israel is a mighty God. So he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of God? But he don't talk that way when he's in the desert and his son is leading an army to kill him. Save me, O Lord. You're my shield. You're my only hope. You're my glory, not my kingdom, not my anointing, not my ability to use my faith to see the... You, God, you're my glory. Not my crown, not my past exploits, but you and you alone are my glory. You and you alone are my safety. You're my shield. And you're the only one that can lift my head up. See, the great faith to slay giants without is you have to change the attitude of that to slay the giant within. Can you, amen? Discouragement is real. Brokenheartedness is real. We can't come to a place of faith that we divorce ourselves from those emotions. If I went home and Pamela had packed up and left and left me a note saying, I've had it with you and I've had it with ministry and I found me a guy and boy, he's going to give me a home on the beach and we're just going to kick back and he's so handsome and I don't have to deal with anything, just be a kind of a lady of leisure the rest of my life and I haven't loved you for the last 10 years. I just didn't want to tell you. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't just come in next Sunday just kind of oblivious. I wouldn't. I'd ask for your prayer. I'd cry out to God because I would experience brokenness. The idea that you go through these things in life, people have these tough places and never experience brokenness. Amen. That we just stand so strong in faith, nothing phases us. Honey, things do phase us. We wouldn't be human if they didn't phase us. But David said, listen, I understand when I'm weakened. And I cry out for the living God. I thirst for the living God. He is my shield. He is my glory. And he alone can bring me out of... He lifted me from the miry clay. I couldn't climb out by faith. Can you say amen? All I could do is cry out to God. And he pulled me out of what I couldn't get out of myself. Can you say amen? Somebody give God glory in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has pulled so many people out of so many of those clay pits, and they think their faith did it. Well, their God did it, and it was their faith in him. And if he hadn't reached down to pull them out, they'd still be in there. Amen? Amen? You don't get out of that by your faith. You get out of that because God reaches down in mercy and grace and yanks you out of that. Hallelujah. But thank God he's that kind of God. Somebody say amen tonight. He's that kind of God. My dad used to sing, I was lost and undone without God and his son when he reached way down for me. When the Savior reached down for me. Praise God. If you're saved tonight, God reached way down to save you. And if you're standing tonight, God reached way down to pick you up. Because he's the lifter of your head. You would have given up and gone back years ago if God hadn't lifted you up when nobody else could lift you up. Hallelujah. And all our victory is because of the goodness, the greatness, and the graciousness of our great God. Hallelujah. 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 Giants within are different than giants without. That's why the Bible said the spirit of a man will sustain whatever weakens him. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? That's why the Bible says to be strengthened with all might in the inward man. Though the outward man perish, here's that time of refreshing that's essential. The inward man is what? Renewed. How often? Day by day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We desperately need times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. There were people in the service this morning that got times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. We had an evangelist who used to come every year to our church, and he said, I want to stand under the spout where the glory comes out. Then you say amen. Well, we all need to stand under that spout. And we don't need it every now and then. We need it daily. Yes, Lord, pour it on us. Pour over me. Glory be to God. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set them against me round about. But he didn't talk like that until verse 3. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and here it is, the lifter of mine head. The lifter of my head deals with discouragement. What happens? Amen. Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knee. Why? Lest they be turned out of the way. Amen. If we don't learn how to be ministers of encouragement to one another, somebody's going to get discouraged. No one's going to be there to be encouraging. And it's so easy to see people turned out of the way. So we're to lift up the hands that hang down. Moses' hands, out of sheer fatigue, amen, just fell down. But when they lifted him up, amen, Israel won great battles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But not because Moses was strong enough or had enough faith or anything else to just hold them up there forever, indefinitely. We all need help. We need it from God. We need it from each other. But God promised to grant it. And if we learn how to minister this ministry of encouragement to one another, nobody's going to turn out of the way. Hallelujah. One translation of verse 3 reads, Lord, you're the one who lifts my head high. And in the midst of great distress, Jameson Fawcett Brown, that 4-volume fine print set of old commentaries. I want to read from that because it's good. It said, David, in the midst of great distress, with filial confidence, implores God's aid, and anticipating relief, offers praise. See, you don't wait until God does it to praise Him. You implore Him, and then anticipating relief. You don't even wait for relief. You implore Him, and because of His faithfulness, can you say amen? You begin to thank Him. Oh, you won't feel like it, I guarantee it. Until it comes, till the relief comes, you won't feel like it. This is not about feeling like it. This is about committing yourself in faith enough to acknowledge that God is faithful enough that you can go ahead and praise Him before anything changes, including your feelings. My heart can still be broken. The outward man is perishing. My soul, my emotional man, is part of that outward man. That inward man is clearly my spirit. Can you say amen? But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. God has invested everything we need in our spirit man. We get out of touch with our spirit man. We are left to our soul and our body. Our mind and our body is not enough to overcome. Can you say amen? We are strengthened with might. Where? In our emotions? No. I'm going to cry a little more before Jesus comes. Amen. But weeping lasts but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm not trying to arrive at a place that nothing will ever break me enough to make me cry again. Amen. But I'm coming to the place of faith that I understand that will give way to God's victory, because He is a shield for me. He's my glory. And He's the lifter of my head. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, where does my head go? What does God do? Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He's the lifter of my head. Cheer up, son. I'm still with you. Cheer up, son. I'm still on the throne. Cheer up. I'm still in control. Somebody give Him glory tonight. Oh, give Him glory tonight. Hallelujah. He implores God's aid, and in anticipation of relief, offers praise. When you cry out to God in trouble, do you expect Him to sit back and ignore you? Or do you expect God to help you? Well, if you expect him to help you, start praising him then. David immediately started changing his tone. There's all these people against me. Everything is so wrong. But, oh, Lord, you're my God. You're my help. You're my shield. You're the lifter. You're the lifter of my head. Everybody say, lifter of my head. Hallelujah. David had an enemy without, but David was no stranger to facing overwhelming giants and great armies. This was no Philistine giant or mighty army. This was his own son. And the army that followed him was David's own countrymen. David now had a greater threat than an enemy without. The threat was heartache and heartbreak, discouragement, despair, and despondency. Because this is crucial to victory, I don't want you to miss this. Listen, in order to defeat the enemy without, we've got to first defeat the enemy within. The enemy within. Discouragement is real. Despair is real. Heartache is real. These are real emotions. They're inescapable. And you know why they're inescapable? Because we live in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have issues that affect you emotionally. Amen. I've heard teaching on how you rise to this place of hyper faith. And honey, that's baloney. Did you know Jesus took on flesh? That's why he understands you and I so completely, precisely. That's why he knows exactly what we need, because he's been through exactly what we're experiencing. Tempted in all points, yet as we are. Did you know in the garden, Jesus was sorrowful. His soul was sorrowful. Knowing what he was going to face as a holy man and his aversion to that, a man who had no sin, literally God incarnate. The Bible said his soul was sorrowful unto death. And his sweat became as great drops of blood, as capillaries under the skin begin to burst because of the stress, and the sweat glands took the blood coming underneath the skin from the capillaries, blended it, and a reddish brown liquid in big droplets begin to come out on his arms and his face. His soul was sorrowful. How did he pray in the garden in that condition? Only one of the Gospels contains this, but it's so vital. He said, Abba, Father. Everybody say, Abba, Father. If you want great faith to get up in this hyper place, you call all the shots and you don't have problems, you only have answers. You're living in a surrealistic world, not a realistic world. That's not the world we live in. Jesus didn't do that. And I really don't think these new boys on the block, and they are new. This is a new doctrine. It's not the one that was once delivered. Don't make no mistake about it. It doesn't match. It doesn't match the original. The original's here. Can you say, man, not twisted around for television. It's here. Or a book someone wrote. Honey, the best book you can read is this one right here. And by the way, after you read this one thoroughly and ask the Holy Ghost to help you, judge everybody else's book by this book. And when anybody else's book don't line up with this book, please throw it away. Let God be true and every man be the liar. Doesn't matter if he's got 100,000 people following him. That doesn't make no difference. If the blind lead the blind, it don't matter how many blind follow the blind man. We're living in tough times. Amen. God wants us to know how to seek him in the time of trouble. God wants us to know how to have faith in him in our brokenness. Not to escape the brokenness, but in our brokenness to be able to know that he's my shield, he's my glory, and he is the lifter of my head. That so he can bring us through these times with a real answer, real grace, real strength. Hallelujah. For the real giant within. Thank you, Lord, for not letting the anointing oil break. It really is anointed oil. No, it's just anointing oil. That's the oil of the olive. It's the oil of the Spirit that does the work. Hallelujah. David looks to God as the lifter of his head, or as one commentary reads, lifts me from despondency. Everybody say, lifts me from despondency. Everybody. needs to have a faith that will work when we are discouraged. There's an implication in many circles that if you're discouraged, you shouldn't, number one, you shouldn't have become discouraged. And if you are discouraged, God isn't going to listen because you can't pray in faith when you are discouraged. So if you ever get discouraged, I guess you're just sunk. That's baloney too. You're preaching like that, you should get some mustard, some bread, a pickle or two, maybe lettuce if you like it. Amen. Make yourself a sandwich. That's all it's good for. It's baloney. It's baloney. It's baloney. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure. He ought not be, what a negative confession. He ought, oh, my Lord, and somebody send him some tapes. Can we get some CDs to him of how to overcome? Here he is confessing that he's overwhelmed like David did. Paul is overwhelmed. We need to straighten Paul out. Don't you think Paul needs straightening out? No, I think we need to be straightened out. I think Paul was okay. I think he was honest. There was no defeat in what he was saying. He was admitting to the weaknesses and the limitations of the flesh, at the same time confessing that God is able to lift us up when we can't get out of this thing ourselves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But he don't lift us up by us escaping the heartbreaks of life, but giving us the grace and strength we need when we go through it. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure. Did you know that you have limits? That outward man perisheth. That outward man is weak. That outward man has limits. Did you know that your patience has limits? Based on your emotion, do you know that you can lose your patience with people? Amen. Do you understand that your love, your ability to love out of your emotional being has limits? Amen. Here comes Jesus said, love your enemy. Here's your flesh says, say what? Amen? Did you know your capacity to stand up to brokenness? Today, Kim made a statement. We were talking, and I didn't mean to be corrective, Tim. Kim and I understand one another. We talk back and forth very clearly. We have for years. It's not all kidding and jesting. We get serious about matters. And Kim was, we were talking about her mama, how God's grace was on her mama. And her mom's still able to wink at people. And she's got the painkiller and she's got this condition. She's, you know, they got a cover laying on her talking about her being in heaven. They pretty much got that covered. And I mean, there you are and facing all that she's facing. And she's just at peace. And she's sweet and she's kind and she's considerate and she's winking at people and making remarks. I think there was, about 23 people in the room at one time, somebody said, or 20-something people in the room at one time. She said, thank you all for coming. Now leave. And I thought, that's her. That's okay. If you can have a sense of humor when you're in that condition, God's grace is all over you. And Kim made the statement. I knew what she meant. She said what people thought about some great evangelists and people down through the years that God used so mightily. She just said, well, she's a very strong woman. I said, no, Kim. I said, she's down there. And what she's facing right now, this is grace. She said, oh, I know what you mean. I said, yeah, this is grace. This is not because of her intestinal fortitude. This is death knocking at your door. Amen. And you look at death back in the eye and say, I'm not afraid of you because I have given my heart to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And I have his peace and his grace all over me. Praise the Lord. I know what Kim meant. She knew what I meant. I wasn't trying to be corrective. I was just trying to point out that grace is here. Grace is here sustaining her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I mean, you got to understand what's going on and hear somebody making jokes and looking forward and talking about seeing Charles, wondering if you'll know Charles in heaven with hair. That's sweet. That's wonderful. And when she squeezed my hand and I squeezed hers today and I felt the love of God in that room, and I winked back at her when I left and said, I'm going to leave you here with all these crazy people. Of course, I had to apologize to all the crazy people before I left. Okay. Every family, not just that family, every family. Boy, my family, number one, there are a few nuts in my family tree, I guarantee you. I'm probably one of them, but God is gracious. Hallelujah. He's my shield, David said. See, that enemy within only falls when you look to the Lord in full surrender, in absolute desperation. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that befell us in Asia, how that we were pressed beyond measure. He admitted that your emotional man, that outward man, amen, has limits. And those limits, you can come to the end of your ability to stand strong, be strong, stand on the word, do all the other things, stand strong. There is a limit. Can you say amen? Paul Yonggi Cho, I don't know what his doctrine is now, but back when he was humble, amen, I don't know that he isn't, but I'm just saying, amen. I remember he went through 10 years of nervous breakdown. He may not be now, don't pay no attention to that part, but he went through 10 years of nervous breakdown. And he said, the only reason that I'm preaching today is because of the prayers of my mother-in-law. She interceded for me when I couldn't even pray for myself. Amen. Everybody's got a testimony somewhere down the line that God has to become your shield, your only hope and your only protection. Not your faith, your ability to stand on the word, your ability to believe, but God's faithfulness to pick you up when you don't have any strength of your own. Somebody give him the praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's okay to admit that you've come to the end of your abilities and limitations, hallelujah, but at the same time confess that I have a God in heaven who doesn't back off when I'm in this condition. He actually draws near to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. He lifts me from despondency. There's a great truth here. Oh, let me finish this. Matthew Henry, I like what he says. That word lifts me up. Despondency means dejection and hopelessness. It brings despair. This is what Matthew Henry said about this psalm and this portion of Scripture, this circumstance David was in. Absalom formed a conspiracy against David to take away not only his crown, but his life. David was now in great grief. When in his flight, he went up to the Mount of Olives, he wept greatly with his head covered, marching barefoot. That's what people in grief did. He wept and prayed and wept and sung and wept and believed. That's real important. So, these psalms are not written by a mountaintop man while on mountaintops. The psalms were written by a man who knew the depth of the valleys of despair, and yet knew the faithfulness, discovered the faithfulness of God, and decided in the deepest valley, I'm going to, through my tears, sing praises to my God. Amen? The devil will tell you, if you got any tears, you can't be standing in faith. Because if you were standing in faith, you wouldn't be affected emotionally. Listen, you're strengthened with might beyond that soulish part of you. Where's the might? Where has he put it? In the inward man. Glory to God. There's a man in the man. And that man in the man can stand up though the outward man perish. The inward man is experiencing renewal day by day by day by day by day by day. You might not be able to recall everything about this sermon, but your inward man is feasting right here tonight. Your inward man is being strengthened here tonight. I'll tell you, we're serving up some soul food here tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. So after a while, when you begin to understand, when I am weak, when I feel overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Be my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. God is going to be able to lift us up. We're going to be able to pray and praise when we are emotionally distraught. And it won't matter that we have tears in our eyes when we pray. God is going to hear an answer. Can you say amen? Because God is faithful. Amen. There's a great truth unfolding here. While being emotionally shattered by a circumstance, one can still exercise faith in the heart. Wow. Isn't that good to know? Some people can only pray in faith when they feel a mountaintop experience in God. Honey, you need to be able to pray in faith more than any other time when you're in the deep valleys of life. Amen? You need to be able to cry out unto Him. Pour your heart out unto Him. I cried unto the Lord. That's a desperate cry and a dependent cry. And what did He do? He said, hey, when you quit crying out to me and you stand up and confess the word and stand on it, you'll get somewhere, but I'm not paying no attention to you. No, I cried unto the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Well, how did He do that? He lifted His head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 How many times has God been a shield for me? Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure, that we despaired of life itself, that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? He said, when we couldn't go any further, when we couldn't stand any stronger, when everything we had was depleted, we looked to the Lord, and guess what? God came through. Can you say amen? What did He become to Him then? He became His shield. He became His glory. And He became the lifter of His head. That's why no matter what exploits God used Paul to do, amen, He reminded him that he not trust in his flesh, but in God who raises the dead. He reminded him, it's never you, Paul. It's always me. Can you say amen? So when Paul acted under the mighty inspiration of the Holy Spirit and people would applaud him, he said, whatever I am by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And don't look at us that we are sufficient of ourselves. There are teachings that faith makes you self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. That is a wrong perspective of faith. Can you say amen? Faith is always God-dependent so that flesh don't get the glory. Hallelujah. But God gets the glory for any victory we achieve. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He's just acknowledging the same thing David did. When I reach my limit, I cry out to my God. And my God becomes my shield. God becomes my glory. And God becomes the lifter of my head. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet on the rock. The humble are going to find out what God does to weak people, how He treats them with love and tenderness and grace. Hallelujah. And they're going to be glad, because that means if those people in that condition to get a prayer through and get an answer, I can in my condition. Can you say, man? I don't have to lift myself up, build myself up in order to get God to respond to me. I cry out to Him with a heart set on His faithfulness, and He listens when I pray. Hallelujah. It's a better faith because it's not dependent on your strength, but on God's faithfulness. David's enemies taunted him in verse 2. Many there be that say there's no help for him in God. One translation reads, God will not rescue you. Does that sound familiar? When we feel dejected and overwhelmed, Satan shouts, God will not come to your aid. You're too weak. Your faith is too small. You're not worthy. It's hopeless. David responds, and he proclaims the Lord in power. But Thou, O Lord, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. He's not exercising the power of positive thinking, even though he's certainly thinking positive thoughts. It's not about his ability to stay positive. What is causing him to be lifted up is acknowledging the truth about his God. Amen? David's not into self-help or pop psychology. David is looking to his God for deliverance, plain and simple. Amen? But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, protecting me from the enemy without, and the lifter of my head, delivering me from the enemy within. Amen? The enemy without is not going to prevail, and the enemy within is not going to prevail either. Both giants. We're going to fall. How many people have been turned back by despair, despondency, discouragement? Amen? Because when they felt that, they felt like their faith was useless. And it was useful, more useful probably than ever. They won't acknowledge. People have told them, you're wrong to do that when you're weak. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. His strength is perfected in weakness. So let the weak say, I'm strong. Because we overcome. I love Hebrews 11, where it talked about weak people using faith, but this kind of faith, faith in a never-failing God. We've got faith designated as a force that develops in you, and we even use the term a force within you. Force reminds me of Star Wars and Yoda. Huh? The force is with you. The force of your own faith is with you. No, my God is with me. And my faith is in Him. And that perfect faith doesn't come till you reach your extreme. And you call on Him and He comes through and you say, whatever victories I achieve, it's all because of Him. You never get proud. You never get boastful. Can you say amen? You never get independent from Him, but altar dependent on Him. Jesus was sorrowful unto death when He considered becoming sin and feeling abandoned by the Father. He knew what was coming, and He knew what the cost was. And His soul, you see these effervescent people bouncing around, amen, like they never have valleys, implying to people, you can have what I have. If you only get my book, my tape, I can tell you how to walk to skip from mountaintop to mountaintop and never hit a valley. One man went so far as to say, I have no problems. All I have is solutions. I thought, man, somebody needs to soak your head. Amen. You need to take a long walk off a short dock and cool off a little bit. That's crazy talk. That's not how Jesus talked. That's not how Paul talked. That's not how David talked. Where did we get that talk from? Amen? Pop psychology? Are we trying to blend New Age stuff with ancient truth? They won't mix. They're like oil and water. Can you say, man, it won't mix? That mighty oil of the Holy Ghost with this watered-down gospel, it just won't mix. That oil will always come to the top. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? It's not hard to recognize false teaching. False teaching will put man in control. The truth will keep God on the throne. Hallelujah. False teaching will bring glory to man. Real truth will give the glory to God. Hallelujah. False teaching will produce pride. The truth will make you humble and dependent on your God. Oh, I feel like shouting tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm, but thou, O Lord, art a shield and a lifter of my head. Psalm 11 in verse 1, I'm going to close with this because we don't have time to finish, but listen to this. In the Lord put I my trust. This is an answer to those who are telling him there's no hope for him and his God. In the Lord. See, he didn't talk about his faith. He talked about his God, and that became a testimony to his faith. Wow. We got people that I read some of that mess. I got angels that are sitting here to serve me, so I tell my angels. Number one, you don't tell angels. God tells the angels. You don't order angels around. God gives them their orders in your behalf. Amen? There's nowhere in the Bible anybody ever told an angel to do anything. Angels told people to do a lot of things. Boy, man is lifting himself up to celestial heights, aren't we? Now we send angels like they're our errand boys. I'm so mighty in God. My faith is so strong. I tell the angels, go get me wealth. I heard a man preach that thousands follow. Books on the charismatic section of the Christian bookstore. Angels, go and bring me wealth. Angels are going to bring you wealth? Well, if angels are going to bring you wealth, take me off your mailing list. Is that all right? Let's see how much they bring you. If nobody puts a letter in the mailbox, why don't the next 90 days, let's let the angels bring it back to you. And we'll all just give it to somebody that's preaching Jesus and Him crucified. Angels didn't make that man wealthy because he sent them out to do it. People sent it in because he's telling them how to get angels to make them wealthy. Blind leading the blind and calling it faith. And it's just flesh exalting instead of God exalting. I tell you, you read the book of Psalms, you're going to see something over and over again. David exalts his God. He never takes credit for no victory over no enemy. Hey, man, it's God, it's God, it's God. You come to me with sword and spear, but I'm coming to you in the mighty faith that I have developed. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. God gets the glory. Paul writes 13 to 27 books of the New Testament. Miracles attend his ministry. And he said, we're not sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. Whatever I am, he says, I am because of the grace of God, and his sufficient grace is sustaining me. Hallelujah. And his faith works when he's overwhelmed. He discovers great truths about God's faithfulness and grace. Psalm 11:1 says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I like one modern paraphrase, although I don't read them much anymore, but it says, I've already run for dear life straight to the arms of God. Name of the Lord. The righteous stand in their faith because they don't need to run to Him anymore. No, the righteous still run to it to find their safety. Thou art a what? Shield for me. You're my safety. Amen. What time I'm afraid? I will trust in you. How do you express that trust? Because you run not from the devil. You just run to God. There's a difference. You never run from the devil. You always run to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Running to God when threatened is not running from the devil. God is our shield. His power and faithfulness, even when we are weakened and helpless ourselves. He loves us. He will not abandon us. We can't read this psalm without being reminded of the great hymn by Martin Luther. Listen to it. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own, how many know his name? The man of God's own choosing. Everybody say it again, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath is His name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. Lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. In my name, everybody say it's a little word. Everybody say Jesus. In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you will tread on serpents. That's not about stomping on snakes. Can you say amen? That's about demonic forces, powers, principalities. Amen. They're going to be under your feet. Praise God, they're going to be under my feet, because Jesus said to the church at large, behold, I give you power, not over some of it or most of it, but I give you power over all of the power of the devil. Can you say, man, in my name, you're going to dethrone devils. You're going to cast them out. You're going to tear down strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you think the devil doesn't honor, have to honor, not because he reverences, but because he knows his maker and and his judge and his king. Amen. He knows the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All is giving praise. Give him a hand clap in here. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, even when your heart is broken, the name of Jesus is mighty in battle. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, praise God, he'll give it to you. I have called upon the name of Jesus when I was in a deep, dark valley and God came through. I have rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus when my heart was broken in 1,000 peoples and God came through. Amen. He has convinced me that he's my shield. He's my glory and he's the lifter of my head tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Brother, would you come? Let's give God honor tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't think that I've come to send peace on earth, but I've come to send a sword and to set at variance. You're going to have enemies like David had. People that are close enough to you that can break your heart. That Satan knows that giants without, when you are strong within, amen, there's nothing without that you can't face and overcome. So he knows the greater target is to break you down within. And God says, that's when you need to come to me. Not standing on your great faith, but depending on my great faithfulness. Can you say, man, cry out to me and I will answer you. Praise the Lord. Cry unto me in the time of trouble and I will deliver you. And you will bring glory to me when I bring you out. Can you say, man? Glory be to the God of heaven and earth. Have you got a song or you want me to give you one? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to exalt the mighty name of Jesus tonight. Praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet and begin to worship him already tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.